Don't worry, boys, it's a walk up town. Don't worry, boys, it's a walk up town. Don't worry, boys, it's a walk up town. If at first the house looks light, I guarantee we're gonna see a good fight. Don't worry, boys, I'm telling you, it's a walk up town. 'Cause the check comes at the first of the month, then they'll see a body slam and a baby face punch. Don't worry, boys, it's a walk up town. They're in the trailer park and they're sniffing their farts, but they got 10 bucks just to see you hark. Don't worry, boys, it's a walk up town.
Hoot.
Have you ever had a job that you just fucking don't ever want to do?
Yeah, this one.
And the person that forced you back into the job never wants to do it.
Of your two co-hosts, I'm the only person who responded yes immediately. The other one just fucking completely kayfabed you. He ignored you. He doesn't give a shit about you. And then you come on here and you have the audacity to roast little old me?
Hold on. I'm not done. I wasn't even close to being done. Now, I also want to get to Little Rocky. I know Little Rocky's waking up in Tokyo, Japan, still in his two-week quarantine. I know he's waking up at certain moments in time, looking at his phone, realizing we're trying to get this podcast done. We signed a new deal with Blue Wire, so we got to pump these bad boys out. All right? So we have to do these. We can't just skip a week. We can't. I mean, we could, I guess, and just throw in Emilio, I'm almost going to shut off Emilio's face. I'm going to see him shaking his head at us anymore. Emilio, go dark, would you? God damn it. Now we're talking. There we go. I've had enough stressful stuff happen this week. Fuck, you know, like having to go work or having to go wrestle. There's too much going on. So we got a new deal with Blue Wire. So we have to start pumping these bad boys the fuck out. We should have a full pod some week on how difficult a podcast is. I flew up with Chris Jericho today and we talked about it, having to pump these bad boys out weekly and think of new content and be in a good mood and to be able to do them and be funny. He's starting to lose his mind over doing it. And that's Chris Jericho, who's a genius at doing these things.
And Chris Jericho is probably the only person I can think of busier than us doing one of these things. But like, even if this is just the one secondary thing you do in your life, or if it is your career, but like if it's the secondary thing, you just forget you have to do it. We're like, oh, we had one drop on Sunday. Then you have to go to do this TV and do this TV. And if you're an idiot like me, you're promoting 10 other things and having a giant party at your house. Then you just forget you have to sit down and do it. When we're actually doing it, I don't hate it. But the 3 hours before when I know we talked about doing it, I hate it.
Listen, we have a passion for doing this, clearly, or we wouldn't sit around and deal with doing this because the money's not pumping in, guys. Fuck, we're not making tons of money from doing this. And we don't have a passion with just hearing our voices because we never listen back to these fucking things. Emilio's the only one that tells us if we're doing well or if it was any good or not. And maybe I think we try to listen back to him. And when we do, we go, oh, God, but halfway through, we go, oh, fuck. Did we say anything stupid? No. Okay, good. Then let's just forget about it. On to the next week.
You guys complain. I edit 6 of these motherfuckers a week.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is just the Chris Jerichos and Joe Rogan's different because he's making a lot of money doing this. But do people just sit and get pumped up about doing this? I don't know. Fuck it. It is hard.
No. You are right where you're supposed to be with all your constituents in the same category.
So maybe if we get a little more reviews, a little more write backs, a little more feedback about how much they love it, we can stick around with doing this. What did you think of Vince Russo? And the more I look at you right now, you look kind of like him.
New York. I just missing a gold Rolex around my neck. I got a kick out of it. It was cool to hear the guy that pretty much was responsible for the written word, or one of the guys responsible for the written word during the Attitude Era. So it was cool. And plus, you're talking to a guy that was head creative on Impact, head creative in WCW, and one of the head of creative in WWE. So you're getting like 3 companies worth of knowledge. So it was cool.
He doesn't give a fuck if me and Rocky can go out there and do you know, 15 standoffs and have the Japanese crowd excited. He would rather have a little story. That was cool to hear. And he admitted it. He even said, of course he said, bro.
The next time we have on Vince Russo, we need to play the Vince Russo drinking game, which I didn't know existed, but I've seen some of his fans like jump over into our stuff since we had him on. And you have to take a drink every time he says, bro, well, fuck, I would have died of alcohol poisoning. And I've attempted that a lot and never gotten to that point.
Yeah, we'd be fucked. And killing us from alcohol poisoning would be a real feat because I've heard when you throw up, you have alcohol poisoning. Is that right? Well, how about when you piss on yourself or whatever? Man, I blacked out one time. One time. What do you? One time. You mean this week or what? Anyway? What? Not to out myself. A quick story. One time we were in Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Let's just say 2011. A new person came on tour. I won't throw him under the bus. Famous guy, really famous. He came over for his first tour, and he got hammered. I remember we got drunk one night with a sponsor, and he came on the bus and he goes, and I won't reenact his voice to give it away. He goes, man, I woke up and my clothes were all soaking wet, and I realized I peed on myself. And I said, man, fuck, that's the first time that's ever happened to me that I blacked out and did that. And I said, the first time ever? I just piped in, just being honest as a human. He goes, yeah. I go, that's like the sixth time this tour for me. And he looked at me like I was fucking.
Some of us are wired differently. I mean, some of us have different plugs. You cannot be mad at a man who doesn't remember. We've said it for years. We'll say it again. So it's not on you.
First time ever. Oh, man. My God. What a life you've lived. What a fucking prick. Almost like he was slapping me, you know, little slaps, little just paintbrushing me.
Aside from all that, I mean, we're talking about a lot of bullshit right now. What a fucking week we've had.
I flew up to Jacksonville tonight with Chris Jericho on a nice private plane. Just me and him, two people on a private plane, but who's bragging? And I got a chance to talk with him about, he goes, how was Talking Shop Live in Baltimore? I said, it was great. It was so much fun. And enjoyable. And it got him talking about it, him wishing he wants to do those kind of things. And like,
he'd be great.
Well, he would kill it. Yeah. But, you know, I was explaining to him how much fun we truthfully had. And he goes, what was your format? Like, I want to ask. And I go, there wasn't much of one. And he goes, well, what did you guys talk about? And I go, well, now you're starting to ask way too many questions because I don't remember. But halfway through, I kind of checked out. Like, Emilio would know more than all of us,
We wrote the few little things that obviously we wrote, like the entry.
Of course, yeah.
A little shit like that. But once we got out there, we did like we always do. If there was a format, it was fucking gone. And I can tell you this, there just wasn't. So we knew there'd be some singing at the end. We just wondered if we'd be so drunk we couldn't sing the words properly. And a little of both.
He did laugh for the cock torture coming out and getting a cock torture chant for a minute. He loved that part. It was cool because they let us come into the bar. They let everyone drink there. They pre-gamed the little nuts off. All the people there were fired up and pumped up. And it was one of the funnest days I've ever had.
It was a fucking blast to see the Patreons have come out. They've thanked us, the Talking Shop fans. I think it's cool for them to see us because you're not going to see us in a more natural environment than you are after a Talking Shop Live. Hang out in the bar with you, completely being ourselves. And I think that our Patreon group's pretty special. They've all, not all of them, but different members of them have told us individually, whether through DM or whatever the hell it might be, or telling us personally at some of these events, like how they've become like a bonded group and their friends that they didn't know that they would have if it wasn't through that. And like, when we started this, we were like, this is going to be a cool thing. Boozing with the boys, that'll be fun. But we never thought these people would become real life friends that will go and see each other and do other things together if we weren't involved. But if we wouldn't have been involved in their lives, they would have never known each other. So it's kind of cool that there's a network of people out there that come from our bullshit. I think it's enjoyable.
Balls deep, Billy. How is being celibate going, babe?
Oh man, I'm loving it. I'm actually getting a lot of work done, not worrying about having to whack it.
Have you just put it out of your head?
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. I just, I get up now and I meditate, do a little breath work, get a workout in, a little pumpski and go about my day work-wise.
You've always been in good shape, but I mean, are you getting even more? Because when you dial it, when people dial it in, there we go. Hold on, let me get a shot of this. Hold on, now we're talking, Hoot. That looks good. That chest hair got to go though, Dad. In my world, but time out. Gallows has lots of chest hair. So does Cardona. I'm not, and so does the Blade. Braxton Sutter, whatever his name will be, Pepper Parks.
When's the last time you caught a kiss?
Oh my God, I haven't caught a kiss since I brought this up to you guys, probably at the end of May, beginning of June.
It's basically a month of no cum for brother.
Brother hasn't pissed a kiss.
Have you had a wet dream yet?
I will definitely let you guys know.
I would probably drown myself because it would shoot into my own face and overtake.
So I have two stories. I was on the road. Whenever I was on the road, let's just remember. Well, who cares? Whatever. I woke up and I had a nice big full gimmick ready to go. And I just laid there and went, fuck. It was just too impossible to not understand that I had a full gimmick ready to go. I caught a brother because it just felt better. Second story. That's one story because it just made me feel better. So what you're going through as a human male, fuck. Second story. One time so we got on the road. I caught a brother and it went a little into a place that, fuck. I gave myself a facial. Are we talking about this? Is that what it is? And it wasn't on purpose. Okay. So here's the pop though. I knew who would appreciate it besides Gallows. He appreciated it. He already would be like, oh, fuck, that sucks. But I knew who else would appreciate that. It, my buddy, Kenny Omega. He goes, I said, he wasn't in a great mood. And I can tell when Kenny's not in a great mood. And I was like, well, here's the thing, man. Like, fuck, yeah. Well, at least you didn't give yourself a fucking facial, brother, on accident. And that was it. Game on. Kenny was fucking ready to rock.
I think there's a lot of brothers who just popped huge at the admitted facial. I think there's a lot more brothers out there who at one point in their life have been giving themselves a facial.
Clearly it didn't go all over the whole entire face, but here's the point of the story. When Balls Deep finally rocks his bomb, if he's in New York and I'm in Jacksonville, it's going to hit me in the forehead.
I've unloaded the tank three times today and it's brewing again. You know what I mean?
I hope it's like this in a decade, goddammit, because fuck.
Let's talk about, because everybody in wrestling talked about it for about 5 minutes. Let's talk about when we were at AEW last Saturday night, rocking it on TNT, when you were having your big singles debut in AEW, Wheeler, Utah. Meanwhile, at a small town in southern middle Georgia, Dublin, Georgia, there was a man that took flight and it did not end so well. Balls Deep, you saw the clip. I wasn't there. I saw the clip from Scott DeMore's cell phone first, then somebody else's cell phone. And then finally, just today, I got two different camera angles from the guy who films and produces the show for us. I think the one that posted today, the last one that was on my Instagram, if you're going back and looking, where you see the view from the guys who were hopefully going to catch him and didn't.
So the angle on your social media right now is the one that I immediately texted you. And I was like, you hear a thud. And it's like a sickening thud too. It's like a whap. And you can just like hear the life and the energy and just like the breath come out of this poor brother.
So this is what I'll say on it. And then I'll let you guys say it. So obviously we ran the three Lariato shows over the weekend. I was not there. They had asked me about doing this crazy ladder match. At first, they didn't have ladders. I had black ladders in my garage that were much smaller. For whatever reason, and I'm not burying the man they call Laser on this, we've all wanted to make our mark. We've all wanted to make our splash, so to speak, or our splat. But like we do these Lariato shows and I don't need to be doing them. It's not like there's a lot of money that comes out of them. I enjoy doing them, but like, why am I taking a thumbtack bump in front of 400 people in a gym? Like we're on TV. We make good money. I like doing that stuff. I wouldn't have dove off that ladder, but I think for Laser, that was a big moment for him. And he was jumping off that fucking ladder. No matter if I told him it was dumb, if Dreamer told him it was dumb, if any of the people who were there or weren't there told him it was dumb, he's jumping. But I think there's a great lesson learned there. Also, you need to figure out who the fuck's going to catch you and make sure they can do it. But we've been under some big brothers that have fallen from some high places. I don't know. I would have tried, but you never know. That was a high, high ladder coming from the ring to the fucking floor and probably a 230-pound guy. That's fucking tough to catch. I'm telling you.
I didn't realize that Frankie was in the back of that pile. Smartly. So Gallows and Anderson admittedly are not good catchers. So I say that, but then Penta and Ray Phoenix, who are two of the greatest flyers in the world now, I mean, those guys, will admit that we are great catchers. But we'll tell them we're not. I'm sorry. But we'll do the best we can to make sure you can get to where you need to be to make sure that you're okay. But I got to protect myself as well. Because if any of those guys would have put their lives on, would have put themselves in the middle, they might have taken on the head. Yep. They might have been paralyzed. They might have blew their arm out. I don't know. And anybody can say, hey, whatever it takes to protect your brother. I get that, man. I get it. But fuck, end of the day, man, you got to look out for yourself. I'm not saying that those guys were right. You got to get in there. Maybe the person holding the ladder didn't help, whoever that was. All I'm saying is that catching somebody from that fucking high, the machine gun ain't doing it. End of story.
Laser did have to have hip surgery. He can start rehabbing. He was able to stand up. So thank God he learned a damn good lesson. And I talked to him on the phone and we reiterated the fact that the lesson has been learned. And we won't be doing stuff like that anymore. But holy fucking shit. What a fall. What a thud. You can tell when the ladder kicks out because the person may or may not have been holding it correctly. And his legs start to flail. I'll say this on the brother's behalf.
What do you mean his legs starting to flail? Why am I laughing?
He's no, swimming through the air because he knows, man.
Oh, you mean in the air? Oh, yeah. So, but we're all laughing because thank God he was okay.
No, I'll say this all too, Chris. We've talked about it on the phone already, but like clearly the ladder goes away and he knows he's fucked. Now, I haven't necessarily asked him what he thought coming down because I don't think I should ask him that yet. But in a few days, I will. But or those brothers just look so far away, probably. Or if that ladder kicked and it didn't, there was nothing to jump. He couldn't jump out at all. You need more people holding the fucking ladder.
You have to watch the newest angle that you sent us. One of our good friends, we love him, Frankie, is in the very back. And there's clearly nothing he can do for this man. I mean, absolutely zero where he's at. And he doesn't change anything about that. He accepts the fact that he ain't saving this man. And do I blame him? I don't know, because if you screwed up and take this man, listen, what happens terrible, then guys alive. We're just trying to be practical about this and think about it. Because when you're under there and you're, what is he, 50 feet up?
50 feet up.
And he's, and this 215 pound man lands on you. Me and you, worst catchers in the business, we're passing away, brother. No. So, and that's not going to feel good. Well, I think hopefully this is a cry to the whole entire wrestling world to not do this shit anymore, unless it's on Talking Choppa Mania 3, where Laser now has a hell of a name, and everywhere he flies, it's for the boys, and I guess his price is a little high. Thank you, Lays. That's what we call you. Like, take Lays. You boys better be ready for me to fly.
I'm going to fly on you tonight. While we're doing that, let's talk about where to get all that Good Brothers summer gear. You want a white camouflage Good Brothers hat? If you want one of those fly-ass jerseys we've been wearing on AEW, go on over to collarandelbowbrand.com. Promo code HOOTS.
How come you guys didn't catch me?
Have I ever told that story? I don't know that I ever have.
Didn't nobody hold a ladder?
The infamous WrestleMania where the Undertaker goes to fly on Shawn Michaels. The Undertaker is going to fly on Shawn Michaels. So there's a SmackDown wrestler. There were a lot of us who were just like in the Battle Royal, and that's all we were doing. Whether you're a young guy, you're lost in the shuffle, whatever. That's how it goes at WrestleMania. Very hard to get on the cards. There's a bunch of us And there's another guy out of that group who you don't have to look hard to figure out who it was, who I don't know if he wasn't happy in that spot, but he wanted a little more. So he went to The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, and he asked them if he could sit in with them all week while they called their match. Pretty smart, pretty good student in the game. So now I don't know this detail, whether he asked to do the spot or maybe they did to reward him for listening in or whatever it was, but somehow he got to be dressed up as the camera. And he was going to be there with the camera. He's going to drop the camera and help catch The Undertaker or catch The Undertaker. I forget if it was a solo catch or whatever it was, but this is WrestleMania.
It was a solo catch. Do you think he did he push for that?
I feel like he was very happy when he got the spot. I remember how happy he was that he had the spot. He was all smiles about having it.
And who knows backstage what happened to make him get that spot, which makes it even better. He blew it.
I was going the non-burial route. Carl Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, that's all good. So anyway.
What happened? What happened?
What happens, which we've all seen times. The Undertaker was crashing headfirst to his thank God not death. And he wouldn't die anyway because he's an undead zombie. So we're thankful. But while we're talking about catching and missing, boy, it was a bad miss. Okay. So we've all seen that. No need to reiterate on that. But I was in the back in a circle of guys and one of the I can't tell the whole story the right way. Fuck, it's going to kill the pop. But one of the producers back there, obviously his head is hung low and he is unhappy with himself. And we're all sitting there in like an awkward silence because it's a lot of the middle card and the guys who've been did the battle royal and they've just been fucking sitting there eating catering all day for a long day. And this certain agent, producer, legend looks up and says, "We almost had a death here tonight." And the kid looks up and he goes, "And it was your fault."
Hey, listen here, Gallows, man. You know what? It was a whole lot more fun without Rock.
Is that why you didn't?
Oh, yeah. Send us out.
Now that I'm up in heaven, I can look down on you. And I see how you come face Carl.
It's Emilio that has.
Well, Emilio doesn't jack off anymore, so he doesn't have cum on his face, does he?
All right. You know, I forgot you could hear everything.
That's right.
Fuck you. Fuck him off, man. I like that we've grown into where I can just like cuss at the fake. He cusses me back and I feel good about it, even though he's in heaven.
Do that. You shouldn't do that. And I'm going to get on with it since you didn't even let me intro the show. But I know it every time your little finger slips into your little butthole, too. Anyway, to close the show, here's your host, the man who's going to come 75 gallons. He lives in New York. He has a sexy, hairy chest. And when he's back on the market, maybe one of you ladies who wants to go to hell should have premarital sex. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the machine gun, Carl!
Me? he just announced.
Yeah, I'm trying to get through this. I have a reason. Also,
you've had your own issues. Come on, Fink.
Shut up. The sexiest man to ever host a podcast. And he's got a blockbuster announcement. So I'm going to turn over the end of the podcast to him. So he can do just that. Make his blockbuster announcement. He is the Big LG, Doc Gallows. Oh, hey, thank you so much. Did you say that you wanted me to end the show with a blockbuster product announcement? No problem. I'll do it because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the beginning of an era. And that era is the era of Big LG CBD Puree. Go to the biglgcbd.com. And from the week of July 4th on, there's going to be a random drawing, and you can get a personally autographed canister of the Big LG CBD Puree. It's a random drawing. Go on over to our website. This stuff's 100% organic, no extractions, no isolations, no chemicals. So check it out now, biglgcbd.com. All my aches and muscle aches, joint pain, premature arthritis, my trouble sleeping alleviated. Go on over to the biglgcbd.com. If Carl starts participating in projects, we're going to get him his very own CBD real soon.
I don't want no goddamn CBD, old man.
It's not oil.
Fuck off, man. Anyways, did Fink leave yet?
No.
So you realize you morphed from Fink into just you and forgot to send them back to heaven to God?
I didn't want to go back yet.
Get the fuck out of here, Fink. I've had enough of your shit. Love you, man.
girl. You're coming first, asshole.
Exactly. Get out of here. Anyways, man. He just forgot to send Fink back. Fuck. Hey, for the machine gun, for Gallows, for Fink in heaven, and also Gallows morphed in here for the cum-soaked faced machine gun. For what Balls Deep's gonna have to deal with when he finally blows his load.
For the aching and Balls Deep.
Balls Deep Billy's been a whole lot available, I've noticed. As in, like, hey, in 30 minutes, great. What's going on? He's just ready.
Balls way more bulbous as they fill up with his baby batter.
Hey, talking shop. Another week, another shit. Thanks, guys. We're out.